The sea is now tranquil. The tropical sun is shining. Many of the white sandy beaches are clear. What's missing from this idyllic picture are the tourists. 5 weeks after monster waves slammed the coastlines of 11 South and Southeast Asian countries, tourism has sputtered to a trickle, especially in Indonesia and Sri Lanka, two of the harder hit countries. In other countries, though, the impact of the tsunami is being felt selectively. That's the case on Phuket Island, Thailand's most popular beach resort. The west coast of the island took a direct hit from the massive waves, but the east coast was virtually untouched. It's time, the locals on the east coast say, for travelers to realize that not all the beach resorts were destroyed, and they encourage tourists to come back to their vacation paradise and help out the troubled economy in the best possible way. Well, someone who's just returned from Phuket Island is Steve Hendricks, a staff reporter for the travel section of the Washington Post. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Neil.
The way you describe the east coast of Phuket Island, you'd never know a cataclysm there just happened.
Well, not just the east coast. You can be on the west coast, which took a direct hit. And if you're more than 20 or 30 yards from the beach, again, you wouldn't know anything had happened. And that's what the tourism officials and hotel owners and the vendors on the beach really want people to understand. In spite of the overall impression from the video that we continue to see, there are lots of places that really were not affected that badly, and their greatest suffering is now coming with the, you know, huge wave of cancellations that they began to suffer right after December 26.
Mm-hmm. Now, you only visited Thailand, right?
That's correct, and in Thailand only on Phuket Island.
Okay, so any other places, the situation may be different, but that's the situation in that one particular place, and there were a few tourists there when you were there.
There were. I had the impression that some people never left, very few people, but obviously most people cleared out and most immediate groups and tourists canceled their plans to go. But by now, about a month afterwards, there were several hundred tourists on the main beach at Phuket Island and on even the smaller beaches. Everywhere you went, there were tourists, only in comparison to what would be the hugely crowded high season that they normally have in January. Was it notable that there were very few?
Most of us go on vacation to forget about our troubles in our workaday world. It must be a little disconcerting to go to a place that has just suffered such a tremendous tragedy, even if you can't see it in front of you. There's got to be a feeling among some people, at least, that, you know, this is ghoulish in a way.
Well, I think you're right, and I think that that's what the tourism people and the people who depend on tourism in places like this know they're up against. Who wants to go to a place that's just suffered such a disaster? On one hand, you're sensitive to the plight of the poor local people. You don't want to be there trying to enjoy yourself while they're still getting over such a profound tragedy. On the other hand, it just doesn't sound like that much fun, and why not use your tourist dollars and time to go somewhere else? But, you know, it strikes me, you know, my purpose was just to report on what the people were telling us was a really much less damaged than reported situation. But it does strike me that everywhere we go in the world, certainly in the tropical world, we're in pretty close proximity to pain and suffering. That's true on Jamaica and, the Red Sea. Everywhere we go in the world these days, there are problems. So I guess the traveler has to ask himself, you know, why am I going here? What am I trying to avoid? And where can I best spend my time?
Hmm. While you were there, you described walking along a beach road and seeing a man walk out of the ocean carrying a bag of trash. Now, what was that about?
Well, he was a dive instructor, a Dutch fellow who lives there. Since his business is nearly non-existent right now, he's spending a lot of his time as a volunteer, as are a lot of hotel staff and other people who are idle right now. He just goes into the sea and cleans up some of the trash that the tsunami pulled off the beaches. And at this point, I have to say, around Phuket, none of this is body recovery. It's just a lot of junk, plumbing fixtures and chairs and stuff that's cluttering up the ocean floor right in the beach area.
And that might remind the unwary diver of what just happened.
Yeah, true enough.
Yeah. You also witnessed a ceremony while you were there to help send the spirits of the dead onto the next world.
Yeah, this is the thing that indicated to me that the local people themselves were very much ready to move on to the next phase of recovery. They want to dispense with, if that's the right word, what they perceive as the many spirits and ghosts hovering around after this tragedy. and they have particular Buddhist ceremonies to do that, and they are occurring all over the island, all up and down the coast, as far as I know, all around Asia in the Buddhist areas. And they think that with this they will allow the spirits to go on to their next world, and they'll be allowed to continue on with their lives.
Steve Hendricks, thanks very much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Steve Hendricks is a staff reporter for the travel section of the Washington Post and joined us from the studios at the newspaper's headquarters here in Washington, D.C.